Remember, we saw in chapter 2 where God talked about the revelation of the gospel, how the gospel reveals the righteousness of God and the judgment of God, which is why when we share the gospel, probably 95% of Christians, when they share the gospel with somebody, the first verse they use comes out of Romans chapter 3. Because that is this is the chapter that talks about all being under sin, all being sinners. So we'll start there in chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says, "But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie into his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known." So all under sin. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of meeting here this evening in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, around your word, and ask that now you would open your word to each of our hearts in a powerful way. We want to honor and please you and pray you would guide us. And Lord, bless our prayer time to follow. May it be a sweet time of lifting up one another and our missionaries in prayer. We give you this service and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So as I mentioned, the two most common words in Romans are law and sin. The law was given to reveal our sinfulness. As we'll see later, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And God is, therefore, as we're seeing in this passage, he's fully just in judging us for our sinfulness. As it says there, notice in verse 6, "God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world?" In other words, God is fully justified in judging. Because, as we saw in chapter 2, he is righteous. And we are unrighteous. So, as Paul said, if this is not true, then why am I judged as a sinner? Why are any of us judged as a sinner? Well, the reason's given in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? He's talking about the Jews. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Remember, Romans, though it was written to a Gentile church, still Paul's burden for the Jews came out in this book in a mighty way. And he's, again, trying to get the point across that it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, we all need salvation through Jesus Christ. And remember, the issue when Christ came to the earth was the Jews believing that they had some sort of special privilege or some sort of special ticket to heaven or whatever because of their heritage. And Jesus tried to break through that, but he never did. And they nailed him to a cross for it. So as it says here, all are under sin. Go to Galatians 3:22. We'll see a great cross-reference to this truth. It uses the word concluded, which is very important. Notice Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. God says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." We sin because we're sinners. that make sense? A lot of people think we're sinners because we sin, and that's true, but we sin because we are inherently sinners, and there's a difference. We are born sinners. And as we read all through the Scriptures, but even Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In other words, every one of us are under sin. Which, as in verse 10 of our passage even says, even the Old Testament says so. Which he's trying again to bring the Jews and say, listen, even the Old Testament teaches that we're all sinners, that we're all unworthy. And he quotes Psalm 14. So let's turn there. And here in Romans 3:10, he's quoting Psalms, which the Jews would have known this verse, but they didn't understand the verse, obviously, because they were being taught by the scribes and Pharisees that they could earn heaven by keeping the law. But notice Psalm 14 and verse 3. It says, they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So Romans chapter 3 is quoting Psalm 14, which says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then a very important verse, Isaiah 64:6. Every Christian should at least know this verse. Where to find it if you don't know it by heart, because it talks about our righteousnesses, that we don't have any. Notice Isaiah 64:6, what he says. For we are all, that's everybody, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of them. We have nothing to offer up to God as payment for our sin, as entrance to heaven, because even our righteousnesses, as it says here, are as filthy rags. Now, Romans, as we saw here in verses basically 12 through 17, does a good job of describing how sinful we really are. But let's just take a couple moments and look at some other passages that tie in with this passage that show how bad we really are. We're all under sin, but oftentimes people have this underlying, I don't know, thing from the devil which says, I'm not really that bad. And trust me, if you ever have that feeling, it didn't come from the Holy Spirit. But let's look at some scriptures quickly. Mark 7, and I just want us to be reminded how bad we really are. When we see this conclusion, as he calls it in Galatians, that we're all under sin, we're all wicked. Mark 7:21. So we'll just quickly walk through these. For from within, this is Jesus speaking, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. That's just one passage. Now look at Romans 1, which we looked at recently, verse 29. We'll just run through these passages. And you know, after looking at these seven passages, if any unsaved person could just look at these seven passages and still believe they can earn themselves a way to heaven through their works, then they're not listening. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Quite a list. Now go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verse 19. Turn there. We're almost done. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And then 1 Timothy 1:9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about the end times, which we find ourselves in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." How's that for a list? And what God is teaching us in this passage is that all mankind is under sin. And that we are all, as we saw there in Romans 5:12, we've all inherited a sin nature, and therefore by nature we sin, and there's none righteous. And just to drive the point home, God says in verse 10, "No, not one." Verse 12, "No, not one." Nobody's righteous. Look, if you would, quickly at John chapter 3 and verse 18. And this is what the world doesn't understand, is hell is already a given if you're not saved. It's not that we're going to one day earn hell. We already have. That's the whole point of this passage. It's done. Like, I talked to the Iwana kids. I said, "Okay, what do you have to do to go to hell?" They've learned the answer. Nothing. Nothing. Look at John 3:18. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Hallelujah. That's us. If you've believed on Jesus Christ, you are not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Not will be condemned, is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's already done. You're already condemned if you're not saved. Hell is already your destination if you're not saved. Why? We'll go back to our passage here in Romans 3, verse 10. Good verse to share with a lost person when you're sharing the first point of the four-point gospel outline, if you want to keep it simple, and that is, there's none righteous. None. And most Christians bring in verse 23, which says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." None righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, "There's none that understandeth." Verse 11, "There's none that seeketh after God." We're just wicked. And that's the whole point, isn't it? That we need Jesus because we are so wicked that we have no hope outside of Christ. Verse 12, "They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable," which we just read in Psalm 13, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." So God says that every single human being is under sin, condemned under sin. And the point of that isn't to make us depressed. The point of that is to lead us to Christ. Which is why when we share the gospel, when Jesus shared the gospel with the woman at the well, what's the first thing he did was start talking about her husband. Because he knew, because Jesus knows everything, he knew her background, and she'd had seven husbands. And so he brought it up. You're a sinner. And that's where we need to start. You can't get saved if you're not lost, right? So the first thing you got to do is get people lost. They need to realize, we'll conclude at Revelation 21:8, but they need to realize that every single sinner is already condemned, already under sin, And if they do not receive supernatural help from their Creator through the death and resurrection of His Son, they will perish because of their sin. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I also like to share that with the lost, because we all know that we've at least told one lie. Because you meet people sometimes that think they've never really done anything that bad, never killed anybody, have never stolen anything. But have you ever lied? It says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And so the world asks, well, then how can Christians get there? Good question. Because there's no more sin on our account. Amen? He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God gave us, which we're going to look more at next week here in the second part of the chapter. He gave us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to heaven and whether or not we'll be allowed into heaven, there will be no sin on our account because it's gone. Hallelujah. It's forgiven through Jesus Christ. So that's how we can be allowed into heaven, because our Creator was so kind and loving that He paid the price and now is willing through that sacrifice to give us complete forgiveness, again, which we'll see at the end of the chapter next week, where God talks about some of these beautiful doctrines of what God does, imputation, redemption, and so forth, through the sacrifice, the blood, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. But the Bible, from our Creator, has concluded that every single human is under sin and needs Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this